Welcome, and thanks for stopping by. Whether you're watching us on YouTube or listening to our podcast on one of your favorite platforms, I'm glad you're here. You reached the Millennium Beat with your host, Kevin James. I'm so glad that you're here. Today, I have Barbie Johnson from Maryland. Barbie, Hello. Welcome. Hey, this we get to talk again. Last time we talked, I was on your show. So I was really excited to do that and stuff like that. So today, you get to do all the talking and I get to sit here and listen. So you're going to tell me your story. So you're going to tell me where you're from. So again, welcome. And I'm going to kick it off right to you and tell me a little bit about you and where you started from, and we'll go from there.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Kevin. Well, I'm Barbie Johnson. Wasn't born Barbie Johnson. I was Barbie Scott. Anyway, with my mother was Geneva Scott and my father was Barber. You know, like the people that cut the hair. Barber.
Yeah, it's a barber. Okay.
But, had a normal childhood. I grew up and I wanted to be a teacher. So I went to school for teaching. You know, we're passing all the little growing up stage, okay?
Yeah.
Not interesting. I went to school for teaching. I got my degree. I started teaching. I've been teaching for about over 20 years. I've taught kindergarten through fifth grade.
Okay.
But the grade that I liked the most, and I don't ask me why, because I wouldn't be able to tell you, was third grade. I don't know why, but third grade is supposed to be the hardest because you had to teach all the skills necessary for them to get through that testing. But I didn't. I loved it. I liked third grade. Fifth grade wasn't so bad either. That was a most funny one for me right there, that one, because of the children that I was teaching, they were funny.
Okay.
But they had a knack for learning. And that was one thing. So it wasn't hard teaching them as long as they got the skill that they needed. And half of them needed more so like instruction as to, the rules, what the rules are when you, because I taught everything, math, science, reading, all of it. So most of them needed instructions as to what the rules were when you multiply, divide, and in fractions. So, and once they got that, they were good to go.
Okay.
So I also entered, divinity school, if you want to call it divinity. I just call it, you know, just the tabernacle where you go to learn. I'm just saying. And I got my, I was ordained as an evangelist then, but I've gone through, I'm actually, you never stop learning. You keep going. Cause I wanted to get my, doctorates in in ministry. So I'm looking into some other things in regards to that right now because I want to take more classes. It'll probably be during the night because too busy during the day. So but anyway, I like doing that. I like doing the work for the Lord. Anyway, we are done prison ministry in the men's unit and in the women's unit. And we did some ministering in the recovery houses as well, on both sides, men and women. And our biggest thing that we're doing now is feeding the homeless. Okay. And there was I wrote a book in regards to feeding the homeless and how people came together to support that function. I mean, it was a myriad of different people coming from everywhere wanting to know how they could support it. What could they donate? There were clothes. There was food from everywhere. There were what do you call these little toiletries, blankets, coats, it was everything. Mm. It was awesome. And, you know, those people showed their gratitude in saying they came to us and just thanked us for helping them out with those simple things.
Right.
And it started just as like a weekly thing. But then they kept requesting that we come back. So we couldn't just do it too much each week. So it was done on a monthly basis. Then it became bigger than that. And it spread it out of the state into other states where they were calling everybody to come in, you know, to join. Okay, we're doing it this month. You come and join us. It was awesome. To me, I like seeing people get unified for one common cause. And again, that book that I wrote, it's entitled Under the Bridge. Under the Bridge. And it talks about everything that was going on. Because sometimes we as individuals or people, we lose focus on others because we're too focused on our own situations. But sometimes, you know, we have to have compassion, just as Jesus went out and ministered to others. That's the same thing we have to do as well. If we're called Christians and we're following him. So that's what we have to do, too. He told us to be a witness, you know, to other people. And that's how we're spreading our love and showing our love and concern for other people. And so they were coming and asking for prayer and everything else. And they began to ask, where would we be located the next time? So some of them, we would still see some of those same people at different locations. But when we were out of state, of course, we didn't see them. So it was different group of people there, wherever we went. But I really, it just kind of blew my mind how even business people wanted to donate to help. Because usually when you try and ask somebody, hey, can you donate this? They'll look at you and say, well, no. I mean, that's what we used to get before. But we didn't get any of that. They began to ask, how can I donate? Where can I send it? You know? Wow. Cool. That was an awesome experience for me. And
well, it definitely sounds like to me that you definitely like dealing with the homeless and feeding the hungry. And I would say that would be your passion. I would say most likely from the few minutes we're talking right now, it's definitely your passion. And one of the things that came to my mind is your Jesus with skin on it. You know, I mean, it's more, you know, you represent Jesus. You're an ambassador and you represent Jesus. So when they see you, they see Jesus.
Thank you,
that's a good thing. So that's a good thing, you know. I mean, showing the love of Christ through a helping hand.
Mm.
That would be a good tagline for somebody.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
That would be. Mm. Hey, somebody want to take that? Yeah, go ahead. You know, just give me credit. Hands. No, I'm only kidding about credit. But yeah. You know, you like that passion, and you're passionate about those kind of stuff, which is good. I don't have any problem with helping the poor, the hungry, and all that stuff. I do it with our church and stuff like that, and I do it personally. I just hope, you know, it goes back to that old Chinese proverb, you know, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Mm-hmm. Teach a man how to fish, he eats for a lifetime. So I think it's great to do this kind of stuff, and don't stop doing it. If anybody's listening or watching, don't stop doing it, but make sure we can do a follow through and continue doing it. and giving programs to help people, because not all people want to be homeless.
No, you know, they don't.
Circumstances have caused them to be homeless, mm-hmm. Whether it's self-inflicted or outside inflicted. It happens some way. Some people, they get into the habit, not all, but some of them, they like it better to be homeless than, you know, have, you know, than being home with in a home. So, I mean, you gotta be, wise and figure out how, you know, how to handle both of them. It's just, that's the way it is. You know, it's like people you see on the side of the road putting up a sign, hey, you know, I'm homeless, can you give me some money? And then always a thought that comes in your mind is, well, you give them the money, what are they going to do with it? They're going to go buy drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, or whatever, you know? I mean, right. So sometimes you're reluctant to help because the fact that you feel like they're going to be, you know, doing something that they really shouldn't be doing with the money. They're not really helping themselves.
Right.
But that's cool. So, all right, continue with your story a little bit, but go on from there.
You made me lose my train of thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. Get that train back on the tracks here.
The train is gone.
Digga, 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 digga. The train is moving.
I was going to go back and say in regards to the book again, Under the Bridge. Okay. Like I said, that's a true story. But it seems that's my genre of writing. I believe I told you that I'm a publisher and an author of several different books already. But anyway, getting back to the story, there's a distraction in here. That's why I'm laughing. Your friend.
Oh, my friend.
Yeah.
She's trying to sneak into the conversation, huh?
Anyway. God, I'm off.
It's understandable. But, you know, dealing with that, the books and stuff like that, because I don't think you gave me any links on that. Do you have those? Where are they, on Amazon or are they?
No, I took them off Amazon.
I have a website.
It's bjpublishing.com, but it's B-E-E-J-A-Y.
Okay.
So I don't want anybody to That's
B-J.
Right.
B-J. Yeah, B-E-E. Not the letter B.
No.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. It's funny how you talk about letters and stuff. I was thinking the word okay. How many versions of okay we have? Like O-C, okay, E-Y, mm-hmm. O-K, K. Then we have K.
It's like an O-K-A-Y.
Right, yeah. It's so it's B-B-E-E.
Right.
Like the B.
Exactly.
Like
and
the B.
And that's my card. It's a B,
it's a B
with a blue J over the B. B-J.
Oh.
So.
A B and a J. Oh, wow. Great.
Blue J. So it's B-J. B-J Publishing. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So did anyone just want to, you know, go and look all the books that I have or on that website? But I used to have them on Amazon, but Amazon was eating me up in fees. So I said, no. And then when they sell the book, you don't even get half of it. So I said, no, I can do better.
Right. It'd be one thing if they did everything. They edited it. They wrote it. I mean, not wrote it, but you would have to write it. They edited it. Then they printed it. You know, did the marketing of it and all that kind of stuff. Then I understand that they're doing everything and they're giving you a percentage. All you had to do is write it.
No, they didn't. Not the way I did it.
Yeah, you did it.
They did none of that. Only thing they was doing was marketing. That's it.
Marketing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It definitely wasn't worth it. So, all right. Is she still bothering you there? It's like
No, not now.
Not now. Oh, okay. Well, that's good, you know.
Oh my God.
It's like, it's like there's no outtakes in here. It's all one show.
That's it.
Unless it's a really big major mistake, I got to fix it. I don't edit it unless I really have to. I do enough editing as it is, and as I said, today we have a power cut at 4 o'clock. Oh, so I have to make sure that we're done. Yeah, they're doing something to the plaza that my studio office is in, that they're shutting down the whole plaza because they got to put a transformer in or something. Mm. I don't know what FPL is doing. Or it's actually Duke. It's not FPL. It's Duke.
Right. And so that affects everything.
Yeah, when you have no power. And my studio runs on batteries, but it doesn't run on a generator. Mm. So all my lights would shut off. The computer, internet would shut off. Everything would shut off. So, but all right. So your book is another important thing. What else is going on in your life?
Yeah. Again, we do podcasting just as you. We had you on the show.
So, you have one show. What's that called?
The Book Breakers. I'm forgetting
book
who we are.
Breakers.
Yeah, the Book Breakers.
It's like me, the Millennium Beat, you know. Mm-hmm. I can also be, as I said with you before, I can be found with under Millennium Beat also. But I didn't want someone to come in and say, okay, I want to be that. And I'll just add the word the. So I already did that. So
thank you. Yes.
But the Book Breakers. So basically wherever you find podcasts, Apple, Spotify, stuff like that, that's where they can find you.
Well, Spotify, yeah, you can. YouTube, Facebook. We're going over to not Twitter. What's the other one?
We got Instagram.
No,
TikTok.
Instagram. No, not TikTok. Not TikTok.
Not
Instagram.
TikTok. No TikTok.
Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Instagram. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Social media is interesting, huh?
Yeah,
it's like you can't believe half the stuff you see on it. I see some great ads on Facebook or TikTok, and I said, man, that's really good. I want that item. And it's just it's not good. It's just fake. And I've never realized as much. I like TikTok because, you know, I get it. It's always interesting. You get some good stories, but then you get some crazy ones.
Yeah.
Or conspiracy theories like this clips that's coming up, you know, and the world's going to end. And but, you know, believe it or not, I don't really watch news. And that's where I first heard about the bridge.
Oh, my.
Not rear-ended. It got front-ended. It got destroyed. You know, but that's where I seen it first. Somebody from TikTok posted a video on it.
Wow.
So that's where I caught it. It's either that or Facebook. And because of business, I have to have those stuff. But believe me, I think we would be so much better off. The youth would be so much better off if we didn't have Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Now it's X, you know, it used to be Twitter. I know people that they spend more time on those devices than they do anywhere else. And it's just taking away from time that we could spend with God and stuff like that. So,
right. That is so true. You're right. It takes time away. People.
Yeah, I mean, you scroll TikTok or Instagram or something like that. You're scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. You spend 15, 20, 30 minutes and, you know, and you could have been in the Word or praying or something like that. And I mean, I use it for business. So that's why I said I have to, you know, I try to find leads and, you know, try to find guests and stuff like that. And, right. You know, because someone wants to tell their story. And I was somewhere, I don't know if it was Facebook or something like that, goes, hey, if anybody's looking for a guest, I want to be on your show. And right. I looked at the person, I go, that name sounds familiar. And I looked at it, I go, oh yeah, she's already been on my show. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I always, as I said, when I did your show is I always love, you know, I don't have as much time anymore, but I always will book somebody. And, you know, I used to try to get crazy, like try to do a show a week and stuff like that. And as I said, my schedule, now that I don't work for the TV station, I'm out on the road doing stuff. And then, you know, I don't get as much time. And if today the power was available, I would probably be editing this show.
Oh, wow.
But I'm basically go back on the road for a little bit. But so, so you have that. Now, one of the things you talked about besides the homeless and stuff like that, you pastoral at one time and ministering and stuff like that. And you got involved into the jails, but you did say, because of the pandemic in 2020, it basically really started, you've kind of weaned away from that a little bit, but what were you doing before the pandemic when it came to that kind of stuff?
We were doing more in like the prison ministries, going in and out, and the recovery houses for the men and women. And we had volunteer to go in to feed them in the, it's not a shelter, in the recovery houses, because there were programs that were being shown inside, or events, whatever you want to call it. And we were there.
Okay. Now, these recovery houses, is that most, I don't know if the word is a halfway house, where it's between halfway between the prison and being released. Is that what kind of the houses were like?
I want to say more so like you're weaned off of
drugs.
Like, yeah. Drugs
or sex or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a more, okay. So it's a recovery program more than a release program.
Right.
It's not like they're actually not, it stops them from going in, but it's not on, they're not going on in that program on the way out. Okay.
Right.
A halfway house, I think would be something where you're trying to condition them and get them ready to be out back in the free world again. So that's what I was thinking, but no, it's a recovery more from, it's kind of like, you ever hear of Teen Challenge?
Yeah, that's familiar to me.
Yeah, I can't tell you who started it. It's some guy, and I'm not sure exactly. I'm not good with those names, but I think it was in New York or something like that. And it's boys. They're put there by either court or by volunteer, or the parents. Mm-hmm. And it's drug related mostly. You know, as far as I could tell, it was drug related. And it's a recovery program that, you know, and people used to go in there and preach. I know my pastor that runs this church that my studio is at. That's what he did a lot in his early days of preaching. He would go to Teen Challenge and preach there every week. You know,
wow. So.
And then we have people in our church now that go to the prisons and preach every week. And then we have one of the guys that does a lot of prison ministries. He comes on a Thursday night and preaches here. We let him preach, you know, so we have that. So, and then we have another girl that goes along with a guy, and they go to the women's and the men's prison and they team up and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. So what have you been doing nowadays? Since, as I said, the pandemic, and you kind of put that on hold, dealing with the prisons and stuff. What are you doing now?
Well, right now I'm trying to expand my business. I do ghostwriting for other people. I'm still writing books. So,
okay.
It's just that my name does not appear on their books.
I know
that.
I know it is.
But
The people do use that, or they use. I know, like people like Joyce Meyer and other people. They don't even write their books. They get someone watches their video, sermons and their messages, and they take the messages and put it into a book form. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a whole different thing. But so you're a ghostwriter.
Yes.
So you do that. I was thinking of starting to write a book about the blood.
Oh, really?
And I was going to do that when I had major blood clots, and the Lord would show me about blood, how important it is, and his blood, how it goes through you and all that stuff. And the second book I was going to write, I was going to take all these interviews and do like a storybook, like having a story a week type of thing, having like a book that has 52 weeks in a year. And then do one a week, but it's a lot of work.
Yes, it is.
Because I have to take the transcripts and then convert them down and make them shorter because how long they are and take out what I say and just put what they say. I mean, I would love to do it. I mean, but again, a lot of people have other people to do it for you. So when you do that,
that's why you get a ghostwriter. When you don't have the time to do it, you get a ghostwriter. But I like that about the blood. You should do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of my good godly thoughts that I says, okay, let's consider doing that. I don't know. It's the blood, how important it is, and because there's power in the blood. I think there's a song like
absolutely.
That, right?
Absolutely. I mean, but is that your story? If there was something that was happening with you?
About 10 years ago, I was in the hospital. With like five or six doctors around me because they thought I might have a heart attack at any moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was young. I mean, I was like only in my 50s. But they thought because of the blood clot that went from my leg into my lungs, they thought maybe it could go into my heart also. Mm-hmm. So they were very concerned, more concerned than I was. Yeah. But it did cause damage to my veins and my left leg. And then just a few years ago, COVID causes blood clots and it caused blood clots. And I was again, another clot in the left leg. And because the first time I was on medicine, thinners, but they didn't keep me on it because they don't on the first time, but the second time, now I'm on it for life, unfortunately. And it caused more damage to those veins in the left leg, which just causes swelling. And I've been trying to work on that, but God will heal it. I know he will. Where man and doctor says they can't do anything, Dr. Jesus, he can do anything. So
yes, he can.
So I learned a lot about blood and how important it is in the flow of it. And it gives oxygen, gives life. There's life in the blood.
Yes, it is. Now, since you said that about the blood, now, I had a situation that's in my book, too, where they told me I was going to die because my blood was being drained, but it wasn't being built back up. And I was trying to figure out what are you saying? But I had gotten to the point where I was passed out. Because but my son, he was young then, and I had taught him how to drive at age 7. I had to explain to him what was happening with me and for him not to be afraid, because I might need him to grab the wheel one day. I'm just saying, I told him this. And that happened. I didn't completely pass out. I kind of like fainted for a second, and then he grabbed the wheel because he was watching me like a hawk, and he grabbed the wheel and pulled the car to the side. Like I said, they told me I was going to die, but I prayed. I said, God, I'm scared. I'm scared because I don't know what's going on. I said, I don't want them cutting on me. I don't want them to do any of that to me. But I said, God, you said you are a healer. I need you to show me, make it real to me that you are a healer. So I battled through that for about maybe 6 months. I believe it was 6 months. I battled through that. And finally, they said, Ms. Johnson, you're going to die if we don't give you a blood transfusion or something else. You are going to die. Your body is not building your blood back up. It's getting lower and lower. I can't remember what point it was at that time. But I believe God. But I let him know, I'm afraid. I'm scared. I need you to do something in this instance for me. Show me that you are real. Show me that you are God. And so this next time when I went in, that they told me, they called some other doctors in. They didn't say anything to me for a few minutes. They said, wait a minute. We want someone else to take a look at this. Mm-hmm. And then so finally they told me, they said, Ms. Johnson, this is a miracle.
Right.
This is a miracle. You say your blood level is going back up. Your blood level is almost back to normal. See, that was God.
Wow.
Now, I know he can heal. I know he can deliver. See, nobody can take that away from me and say, oh, no, he doesn't know. No, you can. I lived it. I'm still here. I'm supposed to be dead, according to doctors. I'm not supposed to be here. But and I'm saying to you, God can do anything, just like you said, even with blood clots. But I had to tell him my fears. I wanted him to make himself real to me. But and now I'm not concerned about whether people believe it or not, but he has given me a healing ministry. But I don't lay hands on nobody unless he tell me. And I know when he wants to do it because my hand get burning hot. So
it's I've time heard that before.
To, he wants somebody. There's somebody there that needs to be delivered, that needs to be healed. If that hot isn't there, that's like fire. I don't mess with people. I don't say nothing.
Now, on your show, have you, I don't know what type of topics you talk about, but have you ever had that feeling while you're on your show?
There was once, but he told me it was a young lady that was watching. And because I felt that heaveness on me. I said, I got to get this off me. It's on one of our shows where I spoke out to her that, oh God, it was in regards to a man, but it was the wrong man. She needed to leave him alone because he was taking her down the wrong path. And once she got back straight, he would send her the person that he wanted her to have, but he was taking her in the wrong direction, and her life was going to be catastrophic. So I spoke that out.
Okay, cool. Hey, that will work too. I mean, that's a word of knowledge. I mean, it's a little different type of word, but it is a word of knowledge. So that's good. That's good to hear. I mean, you know, on your podcast, do you, like I was telling you about mine, is I try to do it once a week. What's your schedule for your podcast that you do? I mean,
we do it once a week. Also, sometimes we have two in the same week because of the person's job availability. So we had to kind of like double book it in the same week, but we try not to. But if we have to, then we do that.
Now, what type of people do you interview? People that only wrote books, or do you everybody? And while you interviewed me, and I haven't written a book yet, so I guess that answers my own question.
Oh my God!
So you do basically all different type of people with people's stories and stuff like that.
Absolutely, it's anybody that have anything or trying to get something out there. We try to help launch them out, or you know, use our platform to push them out.
Right. Okay.
We've interviewed senators, we've interviewed delegates, we've interviewed people running for mayor, we've interviewed business people, business owners, restaurant owners, singers, musicians. Oh, God, I can't even name them all, but.
I'd probably get that way one day. I have a goal. I mean, I've tried to get a couple people. I have a friend of mine that I've known since she was 13. We were like teenagers together. Yeah. And we're going to do a show, and something came up, and she does ministry work, and she sings around the world.
Wow.
And I sent her a letter the other day, and I said, hey, let's do it, you know, and she didn't get a response back. I said, most people, I don't waste time. I'm not going to chase after people. But since I've known her since she was 13, and now she's in her 50s, so I'm going to push after it. Hey. You know, because I want to do a love story with her, her and her husband, stuff like that. But she's in the ministry. She has like a thrift shop. She's over on the other side of Orlando, somewhere out there. So I said to her, hey, let's just do a show talking about your ministry, what you're doing right now. And then we'll do another show that deals with your youth. She grew up. Her mother died when she was very young. She was in a car accident. She was thrown on the highway. Swollen. I mean, huge swollen. You know, she was like, I think under 6 years old or something. As I said, I met her when she was 13, and then her father died in a fire. I did know her when her father died in a fire. And then her brother died, which was my age, just in the last 10 years or so. And then I guess it's her sister died. And so, I mean, she's gone through a lot of stuff too in her life. But, you know, those type of people, I have other people that I've seen on TikTok that there's this young girl out in Chicago who does cookies, and she's young. I mean, first of all, I said, well, how young is she? She can't be an owner, and she's CEO of a cookie company.
All right,
you know?
Go ahead.
So, but I'd still say she's probably only in her 20s or mid-20s, if that, but she looks young. But, and then my friends that I'm going to go see in Branson, Missouri, or I say friends, they don't know me yet, but I know them. You know, it's like, so I'm going out there for 5 days in July. So that would be interesting. So, but, getting closing up here, because I said, I don't want to be, and all of a sudden we go in black.
You know, yeah.
I didn't pay the power bill. And so, no, it had nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that they're going to do some work. In closing, I want you to pray, but before that, what else do you want the audience to know a little bit about you and some of the things that you're doing or will be doing in the future?
Oh, well, what are we going to be doing in the future? Well, I'm saying we, because I'm including my partner, Tisha.
Yeah, Tisha, is she still there?
Yes, she's here. Cuckoo Pick.
Oh, okay.
we're doing modeling, and we're coming out in movies. We've been in two already. Oh, this is the third one. I can't remember. But, it's two. One's supposed to be premiering, or is it a preview coming up?
Okay.
And we're in it. It's called The Disciples, that one. And the other one was called The Volunteer. And so we are in those two movies under Linnea Jordan Productions.
Okay. Well, that's cool. All right. Well, let's wrap up here. Barbie, can you just pray for somebody, or not somebody, but anybody, just pray for the people that are watching on YouTube or listening to us on Podbean or Apple, wherever they get their podcasts. So let's pray for them. And then what we'll do is I'll close the show right after that.
Father, we thank you. We come before your throne of grace, oh God, to obtain help in time of need, Lord. Hallelujah. You said we could call up on you. You hear, you answer, you deliver, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, for all the listeners who are connected, oh God, right now, Father, hallelujah, for anything, God, that they're going through, Father. We're asking, Father, hallelujah, God, that you move on their behalf, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. God, we thank and we praise you. You are a prayer answering God, Father. No circumstance is too hard for you or too big or too small, God. Hallelujah. Lord, we believe and pray in faith, oh God. Hallelujah. That what we ask you, we have the petition, oh God, that we desire of you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. God, grant it now, Father, whatever it is, that marriage, oh God, that's going awry, fix it, God. Hallelujah. Because you ordained marriages, God. That family, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, that's being rebellious, the child, the daughter, the son, God, in the name of Jesus, bring them back into position, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, hallelujah, into unity, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, cut off the avenue of the enemy, of the adversary, oh God, that may be planting devious seeds, oh God, in their mind, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, hallelujah, stabilize, oh God, that mind, give peace where there's confusion, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank and we praise you for it. Oh, God, hallelujah. God, we leave everything into your capable hands, God. Hallelujah. Because you, oh, God, are a deliverer. You are a healer. Hallelujah, Father. Even heal right now. Oh, God, I'm asking you to touch, oh, God, Kevin James right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, he's standing in belief of you, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Show yourself strong and mighty on his behalf, God, in the name of Jesus. You can dissolve. You can heal. You can open veins, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Regulate, Father, hallelujah, in the way it needs to be, God. Bring everything back into perfect work and order, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank and I praise you, and I'm trying to cut this down because you asked me to pray, and when I pray, I'm usually going on for an hour. I'm serious, but I'm going to cut it off right there.
All right.
Lord, we believe you, God. We believe you,
thank
Father,
you, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, everybody, you've been watching and listening to the Millennium Beat. I have Barbara Johnson, Barbie Johnson. Thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, everybody else, we'll see you next time on another show, and we're looking forward to it. So just remember, we like to encourage the world one story at a time.
All right.
This has been a Millennium Beat LLC production. Views and opinions of the guest are not always the views and opinions of the Millennium Beat LLC. Check us out on social media, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, and TikTok @TheMillenniumBeat, or on Twitter @Millennium_Beat.